Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah! We got on a little late tonight, but we're live and on the air right here on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, sir, Bob. Let's see if anybody's in the chat room. Maybe the president's in the chat room. Hopefully the president will get everything squared away here on this healthcare program and half the other programs. Sorry I got on a little late tonight, but we had some issues with the microphones, and so I'm back to the original Norm at Night method, which is, God bless it, just use the cell phone. No fancy tricks with this Skype stuff or anything like that. I got the switchboard on my deck, on my desktop. All this happened because I left the damn power supply at work and isn't anything to do. But I'm kind of hungry. So since I got nobody in the chat room and nobody has called in yet, I'm just going to make a bologna sandwich while I'm talking to you. I guess that's not on the agenda for tonight, but, you know, sometimes you just do what you got to do. Let me tell you something. You're driving home in the Washington, D.C. area. After my regular job, I went to teach chess at a school in Northern Virginia. And sure enough, the night I got to come home, and the traffic is the worst it's been in forever. I got to use the desktop. The USB ports aren't working. My USB mic doesn't seem to want to work, and I am not 100% sure what's going on. Maybe the computer doesn't use a USB mic. I don't even know. All I know is that I got Wegmans light mayonnaise, and if there's anything I hate, it's light mayonnaise. But light mayonnaise is still better than Miracle Whip. I don't know how many of you out there are Miracle Whip fans, but if you are, give me a show a call, 347-945-6713. That's the call-in number. Or you could just come to Blog Talk Radio, Norm at Night, yourself on, and come into the chat room. That would be a lot of fun, too. I'm going back now to the switchboard. And, hey, there are some people in the chat room, and I'm real hat. Can you hear anything now, Lashute? Give me a call. Can you hear anything? 347-945-6713. And hold on. Hey, can anybody hear me? Can anybody hear me now? 347-945-6713. I appear to be logged in, and I should be able to hear you. Shoot, say something in the chat room. Can anybody hear me? Because I'm having some issues here. I'm on my cell phone, and I'm logged into the chat room. Somebody help me. You should be able to hear me. I'm very confused by this whole thing. Somebody help me. Uh-oh. Hello? I don't know. My computers don't seem to work. 9648, can you hear me? 9793, can you hear me? Somebody let me know if you can hear me or not. Trying. I had this problem last week. I just don't know. Can you hear me? Help me. The Norm at Night Show, purely amateur. I don't know. I would hope you could hear me. I am trying. All right. Can you hear me now? I don't know what's wrong. I just may have to cancel the show again. God bless it. I don't know what's going on. Nothing, nada, okay. Go ahead, Norm, 301, can you hear me?
Norm, this is Alan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Ah.
Oh, good, so can you hear me?
Yes, so I had trouble logging on initially, and then I finally came on, and then I called, and then finally have gotten through.
Yes,
so you are...
I left the power supply for my laptop in school, and so I had to jerry-rig something. But anyway, so how can I help you? You're the first caller on tonight's show.
So I was just calling to let you know that I can hear you, and I'm looking forward to hearing what your thoughts are on the current government situation.
Oh, well, I'm really glad to hear that because I'm very disappointed in the President of the United States, and I almost feel like I spent my votes for nothing, and... I'm starting to believe he may not be competent. I believe we should have gone all the way to single pay. We're 40% of the way there to begin with, and we didn't, and now we're paying for it. I don't think his fix is correct. I think what he should have done is simply say, you can keep whatever insurance policy you have, and you can keep it at the rate you have, and if it doesn't meet the standards of the Affordable Care Act, the company should, or the insurance company should simply make it that and at the same rate. He absolutely could have done that. He should have done that. That's the position of me. Yes, Mr. President, time to get down to work.
What's your understanding of what this fix is? I can't even keep anything straight at this point that's coming out of the White House.
The latest fix is, his idea is you could have your policy as it is for a year or 2 years or some number, and then it has to be adjusted. And I don't think that that's a viable idea.
That sounds like just a political quick fix to try to push back.
Right, exactly. And it's a courageous quick fix, in my view, because he doesn't have to take on the insurance companies.
Right.
I mean, I feel really bad because I think they own him. And I mean, this is I just get very upset about the whole thing, and it's very difficult. The website thing is, that's not a big deal. They'll fix that. That's easy.
Right.
It's the broken guarantee that's the hard part, and the really scary part is what's going to happen in a year from now when they have an election. The whole thing could be in jeopardy.
Right.
And I thought maybe we'd get Nancy back for his last 2 years as president, but it's not looking that way to me at this point. I hope it changes. I wish it would change. I think he's making a mess with NSA. I mean, they're gathering metadata on all of us, and now they're, what's the latest thing? Well, NSA now supposedly went to the court and said, oh, we're so sorry, we gathered too much data. But they didn't give any of it back, destroy any of it. And it's really, in fact, the metadata or the data about the data, where the message comes from, who they're to, that's the stuff that really gets analyzed, not the actual part of the message. That's too hard to pinpoint anything about. That's all gibberish. But who they're to and where they're from, that gives you useful information. Well, at least people are telling me in the chat room they can hear me now. I haven't used the cell phone method in a long time.
I have another question before I have to go off. So when we talk about the broken, so-called broken promise or guarantee, do we believe Obama was caught off guard on that, or did he just think no one would notice when the time came? I mean,
I think it's actually a combination. I think he thinks in his heart of hearts that you are keeping your policy. We just brought it up to scale, and you have to expect to pay more for it.
And he didn't think that people would object to that definition of keeping your policy.
No. He didn't, because most of the people he was thinking about and that the whole program is aimed at are people that don't have anything.
Right. Okay.
And I think the insurance companies knew this was going to happen all the time, and thought it was a way to not only increase their customer base among the people that have no insurance, but also to make a quick killing on the people who have insurance.
Got it.
But that is strictly Norm at Night's opinion. That is not fact out there, but...
Well, That's what we're looking for tonight. Yeah. Okay, well,
and so it's, it's a mess. And hopefully they'll straighten it out. We just have to, I know, and the insurance companies are using this whole thing as an excuse to raise rates everywhere. My policy with my wife at her company, the rates have doubled. And they're using the Affordable Care Act as an empty excuse.
Yep.
If we just would go single pay, you know, Medicare, in effect, Medicare for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
What that would do, however, is crush the insurance companies. It would crush them.
Right.
And, you know, and the other way to manipulate things is at the supplier end. It's very hard to fix prices, but just elementary economics, you want to bring the price of medical care down, increase the number of providers. So the government makes doctors.
Hmm.
The more you have, then they have to compete for your business.
Right, and the medical profession is very good at eliminating the number of doctors.
The government, you know, you can't make the doctors take Medicare. Yeah, you can.
Right.
The problem is you got to lower the price. But yeah, that's my position on where are you, Mr. President?
Got it. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to hang up and keep listening online, but thank you.
All right. Well, thanks very much for calling. And remember, we're on every Wednesday night now at 8:00, coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland. Maybe we'll do a guest show from Rockville. Well, everyone, that was a caller where we had a real interesting discussion about health care. If you want to call, 347-945-6713. I'm glad you can hear now. AS, I'm happy about that. I don't know what I did wrong. I've been having this problem. But we need some health care in America. And unfortunately, it's getting really, really hard. Speaking of, I was doing some research last night. And I was looking for something interesting. You know, I am a school teacher, and I've been concentrating this year on Asia, and I was hoping that I could maybe do something on the opium wars. And they were really very interesting things. There were two of them. They were generally between the French, the British, and the Chinese. Where the Chinese didn't want to let opium into the country, but the British forced the Chinese, literally by force, to let them bring opium into China and sell it in order to generate revenue that they could use to buy tea from the Chinese and take back England, where the craze, English craze for tea was just beginning. And I just am finding the Opium Wars a wonderful, wonderful place to go and talk about. And I was wondering if anybody out there knows anything about them. 347-945-6713 is the number. And I'd love to talk opium wars with you. You know, it's really fun for a crotchety old teacher like me when you see some of your students start to log in and participate in the chat room. I really like that. I got some old friends out there, too, and I'm really thankful that you logged in. This guy keeps threatening. Ah, yes, yes, yes. You know who you are. Whatever else you want to talk about. How about the CIA? Anybody want to talk about the CIA? Anybody want to talk about the NSA? They just keep gathering data after data after data. Doesn't seem to matter who you are. You can even be the head of nation of, Germany, Angela Merkel. They tapped her personal, they listened to her personal phone, who she was calling. That's a head of state. You know, I guess nations do, what's the word I'm looking for? They do spy on each other. I mean, that Navy guy Pollard's still in U.S. penitentiary for spying for Israel, but then they're our best friends. So what do y'all think about the talks now starting between the Iranians and the Americans? What do y'all think about the small insurrection that's now starting in Sinai? Or at least it's termed a small insurrection. And it's lawless in Sinai since the Egyptian military threw out the elected president. Oh, wait, I thought we were bringing democracy to the country. I guess democracy only counts when the guy you want wins. That's a real interesting thing. The Warsaw Conference going on in Poland, you know, I forgot about that. Climate change stuff. I have not been following it very closely, chat room, but if you'd love to call in, I'd love to. Climate change is a real interesting thing. I haven't been following that particular conference very closely. However, I am a climate change fan. The climate is changing. It's changing radically. And here's a very interesting connection to that fact. Most people agree that climate change has been accelerated by putting hydrocarbons into the atmosphere, which essentially comes from burning fossil fuels, the biggest and most useful of which is oil. Oh, gosh, the developing countries are asking for a $100 billion fund for loss and damages. Wow, that's a real interesting one. What are they going to, I don't know, wow. Pops up is, should we be even worried about that while there are people starving? Because there's plenty of food. For Sandy, the U.S. provided $60 billion. $100 billion fund. I don't know. This is all just ganging up on me. This has been a real good show so far. What do you think? Should the developed nations pay the developing nations for damages? I mean, it was their oil we burned. Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who is the largest oil producing? Who is the largest oil producing nation in the world? Is it the Saudis, the Venezuelans, the Iranians, or the Iraqis? Why? No, it's the United States of America. It's hard talk, Norm. Well, I don't know. It is. Should we? I don't know. They say people are buying less oil and they want to be compensated for a loss in sales. I hope people are buying less oil. But wait, if people buy less oil, what does that mean? It means they're buying less oil from the largest oil producing nation in the world, which is now the United States of America. Maybe we should join OPEC. Oh, I'll bet the Saudis would love that. It's really hard. I mean, that's kind of a joke. It's hard to say. I'm sure the Saudis could sell all the oil they want to the Chinese. I'm sure we'll be selling oil to the Chinese very soon. Maybe instead of an opium war, we could have an oil war. Oh, there's another reason to have a war. Progressive world, the progressive world. I don't know. Well, somebody give me a call, 347-945-6713. Uh-oh, I got some typing coming into the... Oh, yeah, we're all going to die one day. My day's probably a little closer than yours. For attitude. Oh, you can't talk, but you listen. You're probably in class. What are they saying in class? Oh, wait, I'm talking directly to a person. I got a bunch of lines open here. 347-945-6713. And I'd love to hear what you have to say. I'd love to argue with you. If you got anything to say or opinions or views about United States relationships with Asia, that is truly my topic of choice these days, and it is the one that I am most interested in. We've been... Have any of you read Hiroshima out there? John Hershey's book? I wonder what the true relationship of the Japanese is to the United States now that there's all that leftover stuff from the nuclear... Well, the nuclear bomb we dropped on them. In fact, we dropped two. If you haven't read Hiroshima lately and you're thinking about the Iranian talks and whether or not Iran should have nuclear weapons or anybody should have nuclear weapons, you might want to... Oh, what should have happened? Somebody in the... chat room says, what should have happened instead of dropping the bomb? How does it affect me? Well, the first thing it does is make me feel terribly guilty. We're the only country in the world that has ever used nuclear weapons. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I drank something to keep my voice a little soft here. Health care, where did it go right? It went right because it's trying to provide health care to people who don't have it. Where did it go wrong? It kept the insurance companies involved in it. It didn't go to single pay. And that's what the whole mess is about. Instead of trying to worry about whether or not people are healthy, our whole health care program worries about how to make the most money. But that's because we're a capitalist country, and that's what it's all about. The health care blackmail apparently is going to continue. The President of the United States and the people that put that plan together, they stayed the I don't want to call them prostitutes, but they stayed just the tool of the insurance companies. He was afraid to take on the insurance companies. Yes, so socialized health care, absolutely. We should absolutely socialize health care. And the real thing we should start to do with health care is seriously begin to examine gene manipulation. Why not move to Russia and China? Let me tell you something about China. Chat room. If you're on the bottom rung of society in China right now, today, you have a better chance of rising to the top of the Chinese society than if you were in that same position in the United States of America. Now, healthcare, what's next? Banks, shops, Walmart? Is that so bad? What are you trying to get me to say I'm a communist? Well, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm a left libertarian. That's what I am. Walmart just exploits people every single day. Yes, I'm an old-fashioned labor movement guy. They should go out. People should stop going to Walmart. Oh, what are all those people going to do? I don't know. But what's the Walmart family going to do? I can't even remember their name right now. It was a tough, tough day today. There is nothing the matter with sharing resources. Nothing the matter with it at all. And we need to do it. What I'm really a little worried about is my California connection hasn't called in. It baffles me. It baffles me. I don't know. Anyway, that's my position. Oh, wait, we got some more stuff coming in from the chat room. We're having a good time with the... So, you have a question, chat room, go ahead, that you could analyze. Well, maybe I can, maybe I can't. For the question, what did 1984 have to say? Oh, the novel, okay. About what? What did 1984 have to say about what? Is it about socialism or capitalism? Oh, wow. 1984 is about, in my view, that last statement that just came out of the chat room may have hit it on the head. It's about government more than anything, and how this government begins to provide the things that people need, it tends to gained so much power that eventually Big Brother comes into existence. So I that was a great observation. Oh, wait, I got another call coming in. Hold on, let me get this person on. Hey, you're on the line with Norm at Night. You're on the line with Norm at Night. Go ahead.
So this is Matt Kropp calling in from the wilds of northern Vermont.
Oh, the wilds of, we got a crop coming in. I like that.
Yeah, no, for some reason radio's been on my head today, so I figured I'd check out, see what you were chatting
about.
Yeah,
well, you're on Norm at Night on its new night. You know what? You'll get a charge out of this. Because, wait a minute, I got to find it here. I was just going through some stuff, and I found an old school newspaper.
From the News.
And
oh my.
There's an article about the origin of Norm at Night.
Whoa.
On the front page, and that I got a big kick out of that.
Norm
at Night got closed down twice at St. Albans.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? They invited me to the Christmas party this year, so I'm excited.
That's good. You'll have to say hi to my mom. She's still cranking away.
Oh, good for her. Good for her. She was always fun. But anyway, so I got a bunch of Vermonters in the chat room, too.
Oh, yeah?
Well, actually, foreign students studying in Vermont.
Really? Whereabouts?
I think, wait a minute. Hopefully, I'm not 100% sure. You Vermonters in the chat room, just tell me where you are in Vermont, because I forget.
Yeah, I've been in Burlington for 10 years and, you know, generally enjoying it up here.
Well, that's good. I forget. Did you get married?
No, but I've been with the same partner for 8 years, so, you know.
Okay. Oh,
that's right.
It was your buddy that got married. He just had a baby, too.
Yeah, Will and Miles both are now.
Right, I was thinking of Miles. Yeah, Will, that was a shock.
Will Wilson.
Me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, when he had a baby.
He went from, like, Maoist to, like, Orthodox, like, Christian conservative in the course of a decade.
Oh, he's amazing.
Really amusing.
He is. So what happened to the bread company?
Miles? Yeah, Miles is down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, baking. So he's working
still
in a bakery.
In the food business. I didn't realize he moved to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're down south. Went down and visited him this summer, and you know, he's got a nice big garden and seems pretty set down there.
Does he have his own bakery?
No, he works in a bakery. I think he has dreams of opening a worker co-op bakery.
Oh, Miles. Is his brother still married to their Russian girl?
No. That was his older brother.
Right. Is he still married to that Russian girl?
Oh, yeah. And they have some little ones as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
God, all that came out of my computer room. How exciting.
Seriously, right?
Yes.
That basically makes you a godfather.
Nobody would believe it if you told them. You had to be there to understand it.
How just being around
so
late 90s, like Windows 95 boxes.
Okay, wait a minute. The balance with healthcare is the president is just a blabbermouth. He should have gone for the real thing. What I'm really scared about is this mess that he made of it is going to cause an electoral reaction that's going to get the whole thing destroyed.
I mean, would it be really all that bad if the whole thing got destroyed? I mean, it's kind of a
massive. Yes, I think we should make a step forward.
Is a giant rent-seeking corporatist healthcare system a step forward, or just further consolidation
of
power?
Well, that's a real interesting question. You know, when we sit here and talk about it intellectually and academically, maybe it isn't a step forward. But if, you know, you're working at Walmart and you got two kids and one of them needs to go to a doctor,
mm-hmm.
It may be a big step forward for you. You know, your
mm-hmm.
consciousness might not be perfect, but your kid is, his nose stops running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like
that's the hard thing to balance because, yes, you're absolutely right. It's to have kept the insurance companies in the equation is awful. And I believe. And, you know, they're probably going to cancel my health insurance policy after NSA sends them my metadata to let them know I'm mm-hmm. talking to some socialist in Vermont.
Yeah, I feel
you
like
know,
we'll both get a
little
weird because we've got in 2017 single payer kicks in, and so we've only got the exchanges for like 2 years before that happens. So it's
but single
it's
payer
like,
isn't going to kick in.
Well, we
it's never going to be single
state,
payer.
We passed last year.
I'm
no,
sorry,
it won't for the rest of the country,
up.
But in sorry. It won't for the rest of the country, but in Vermont, single payer. Vermont has
single payer. Vermont, their own, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want Medicare for the country. Nancy Pelosi wanted Medicare for the country. She got it through the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this up. It's on the record.
Was that under Bush?
No, that was under Barack Obama. The original bill came out of the House of Representatives.
And it was a Medicaid for all scheme?
Well, it was single payer.
Okay.
For all.
Mm-hmm.
And that bill, then they passed something different in the Senate, and it went to conference. And we got what it came. Here's what we have.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and anyway, she sold out for him and cost her speakership. I was very upset. I love her. She's one of my heroines.
Really? What's the what is it about her that makes you weak at the knees? Politically,
she's an old-fashioned Italian Paul, she's a New Deal Democrat of the first rank.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Baltimore too.
Really, I didn't know that.
Like, yeah, she is. Her father was the mayor of Baltimore. I forget what her maiden name was. But her father was the mayor of Baltimore. She learned politics at his knee. Always under control. I love her. Now the guy I don't like is my congressman. He's her number two. It's not that I do. Steny Hoyer is better than any of the alternatives that have been there. Except maybe me, but I don't have enough money to run.
You could always become the sort of angry fringe candidate.
I've been through that with someone. That's what I did my whole life. That could be fun. If you're bored and you want to get a chance to yell at politicians. Say that again?
Yeah, if you're looking for a chance to yell at politicians, like in their face, like in public, like I think that could be pretty gratifying from time to time.
Well, you know, you can do that at a town hall if you can get in.
That's true. Although a lot of them are very tightly choreographed.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to the St. Albans Christmas party on December 17th. My middle daughter's getting married on December 14th. I'm very excited about that. And I don't know where else we're going. But anyway, that's about it. On balance, I'm glad there's people going to get covered. I'm glad my daughter can stay on our policy so she can get one she can afford. My baby daughter. Although I should be happy. All my kids graduated from college. They all have jobs. So I guess I am happy.
That's good to hear.
But that's about it. I'm not sorry I voted for the president, but I'd never vote for him again.
Yeah. What do you think is about the race that's shaping up for 2016? You know, because there's definitely people on the
maneuver. That's a real interesting question. Hillary would be interesting, but I'm not sure. You know, because then I'm tired of the Clintons. You know, like the latest issue of Wired magazine's got Bill Clinton and Bill Gates on the cover. They're going to change the world. They had their chance. They blew it. Get out of the way.
Bill Gates and Bill Clinton are still exerting a lot of power. They're just doing it through money, which is, you know, the foundation of our
Get out of the way. Give your money away and let somebody else do it.
Yeah, but they get more status from funding their pet projects, you know.
Oh, I know, but it's not going to change anything.
It's not ultimately their goals. They're, you know,
Maybe not. I don't think they have evil in their heart.
It's not about evil, though, really. It's more about, you know, you can be as well-meaning as you like in that situation, but, you know, when you're that high up a hierarchy, at every level, the information that's transmitted to you is, like, filtered and distorted. So the higher in the hierarchy you are, the more distorted the information you're working with. So even if you have the best of intentions, your view of the world doesn't reflect what the world actually is because of that, like, enormous filter between you and it. Like, the ability to directly experience the world is, when you have that much power, it's very difficult because that power distorts the way that you encounter
everything around
you. So
what do we do about it?
We build structures that have shallow hierarchies or eliminate hierarchies. You know, we don't have presidents anymore, for instance. You know, you decentralize things as much as possible in terms of power. But, like, the flip side is, you know, if you have power and you start, there's this, like, negative feedback loop of using that power to aggrandize your power. If you look at the expansion of executives, you know, the power of the executive past 100 years, that's a perfect example. Like, there's now basically total executive branch control over the military, whereas 100 years ago, you know, state to, like, supply the U.S. military with soldiers, states would have to vote appropriations until World War I, really, to the military to, like, fund their National Guard units.
The United States really had no standing army until World War II, actually. That war was the first time we didn't take the army apart. When the war was over. In fact, maybe that war has never ended.
But the nationalization of the National Guard happened during World War I, and that never ended. Like, after that, the National Guard sort of took on an increasingly federal character.
The Civil War essentially ended the states. It's just taken 150 years for it to take place.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, that's the thing, is you have this a system that's sort of designed to have all these kind of counterweights in it to sort of prevent the concentration of power, but ultimately, just like because of how power works over time, that system will degrade and power will centralize in spite of attempts to manage it. Because the incentive to destroy those checks and balances mm-hmm. is greater than the incentive to preserve them.
But is this power that you talk about, is that separate from people? Is it something tangible that is out there, and no matter what we do about it, it's going to corrupt us?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I think it's it, that kind of it is some it's something that we all as human beings kind of want to have a certain amount of control over our environments. Mm-hmm. But when that, but there's a kind of, I don't know, barrier tipping point when you start wanting to have, you know, having control over other people becomes equated to having control over your environment. And, you know, where that, what kind of control and what kind of power that is, I think it's a pretty blurry line between what is just sort of, you know, you simply feeling secure in your life and feeling like you're safe, and people who pathologically can never feel safe, so they just keep trying to get more and more power, because eventually having enough power, they will feel safe. I think that's one of the big, that feeling of insecurity is one of the big places where the sort of will, that kind
yeah,
of will
I think
power comes from.
Power so they can make more babies.
Well, that, if we're going really back into the human hindbrain, I suppose that there's that motivation there too.
I mean, everybody wants to be the alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
And people seek power so they can control the herd. But people throw stones at me when I say that and call me a sexist and all kinds of other things, so I better not say that on the air.
Iowa essentialist, rah, rah, rah. You sound like a second-wave feminist up in here.
What was that?
You sound like a second-wave feminist.
A second
Are you familiar with the big fight going on between the second and third-wave feminists right now?
No, I'm not. Enlighten us all.
All right, so all the 70s feminists, or the, that generation.
Is that second wave?
Yeah, second wave. Who there's a lot of the kind of lesbian separatism and all that stuff kind of coming out of that. Have been sort of butting heads actually on this very issue with third wave feminists who kind of more embrace sort of the trans movement, like people who are like transgender, trans. Where the second wave feminists are kind of saying that men becoming women, they don't accept that. The second wave feminists, they say that this is essentially like men trying to colonize this like autonomous space that second wave feminist women have carved out for themselves in a patriarchal
mm-hmm.
society. Where the third wave feminists say like gender itself, like the gender binary, is actually like not something that's as fixed as kind of for most of civilization anyway has been kind of argued. It's been convenient to have that binary, but it's there's actually a lot of gray area in between and spaces for other identities to exist. Whereas second wave feminists are very strong on, okay, here's patriarchy, and that's kind of binary to sort of the oppression of women by patriarchy. And so women sort of have to like sort of embrace the redefine, but embrace kind of a femininity that is in opposition to masculinity. Whereas the third wave feminists are like, both of these identities need to just sort of be dissolved. And there's some very intense yelling going on back and forth between the two camps.
Well, I think we have our topic for next week's Normant Night. I'm going to look into this some more, and I'll tell you right now, especially since we're into the last 60 seconds, thank you to everybody in the chat room and everybody that's called tonight. Next week's topic, second wave feminism versus third wave feminism. Thank you, Mr. Vermonter. I appreciate that. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody, and we're going to go out of here with a little music, my favorite, I Got Some Bad Habits, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.